Hi, this is Chris from PleasureMechanics.com. Welcome to this week's episode of Just the Tip, an episode of the Speaking of Sex podcast. Every Wednesday, we share with you an excerpt from one of our favorite books or resources about sexuality, and then have a short conversation about it. If you want deep, penetrating conversations, keep tuning in to our Friday episodes. But for thrilling quickies, we bring you Just the Tip each Wednesday. On this week's episode, I'm going to be sharing an excerpt from Fetish Sex, A Complete Guide to Sexual Fetishes by Violet Blue. Violet Blue is one of the leading experts of sexuality and fetish sex, and she specializes in the intersection between technology and sexuality. She's been writing about sex for a lot of years and has a lot of great wisdom to share. She also publishes anthologies of great erotica and writes great online articles about sex and technology, so be sure to check out Violet Blue's writings. When we use the word fetish, people have different ideas about what that means. In this case, we're talking about interesting kinks or turn-ons that are somewhat unusual and not within the normal, quote-unquote, range of what partners, of what lovers expect to enter their bedrooms. And fetishes can be anything from body parts like feet or very large breasts or hairy backs, or they can be clothing fetishes like latex or rubber or high heels, or they can be object fetishes like balloons or medical equipment or anything really. People have different fetishes. They range from very common, like foot fetishes are super common, to very unusual fetishes. And no one really knows where fetishes come from, why certain people get super aroused in the presence or with even the thought of certain objects or body parts. But what we do know is that fetishes are actually really normal. And most people have certain arousing turn-ons that are somewhat unusual if you look at, you know, mainstream sexuality and what we understand to be normal, quote-unquote, sexuality. So this is to say that there's the things that turn most of us on, like touch, oral sex, kissing, the stimulation of seeing your lover's naked bodies. These are very common turn-ons. And then each of us have our own little kinks and quirks. And for me, this is what makes sexuality so interesting, right? So let's get to the book. She is talking about in this passage how it feels to really discover and claim and embrace your fetishes. Here we go. She says, "One of the most hurtful myths designed to shame people with outsider sexual interests is that unconventional sex will somehow make you unable to continue without moving on to harder and harder stuff. This is like saying that hot sauce fanatics will only be satisfied when they set their tongues on fire with gasoline. Ridiculous, unfounded, untrue, and ultimately harmful. Conversely, living with a fetish represents freedom for many people to finally be able to enjoy sex the way they like it, on their own terms, and to finally be able to give language to their true desires and the strength and courage to ask for what they want in sex and in life. For all genders, this is a moment of personal power and liberation that we were never given growing up. Many of us have lived our lives having to experience sex in narrowly defined terms by someone else's rules that have never made sense to us anyway. Realizing you have a fetish can be a powerful moment of clarity. It's the moment of, ah, where you find that one thing that really turns you on. Maybe for the first time, and for a number of women, it can be the moment of finally first experiencing an actual orgasm. And then when you find a community of others like you, where you can joke, find comfort, even complain about how hard it is to find a decent tentacle porn site, well, you start to feel okay about the rest of your life, too. Things get a little easier. Discovering that you have a fetish is a lot like the moment when you finally figure out you've been putting the wrong gas in your car, or that your cat was shredding your curtains because she was trying to tell you something all along. Depending on the degree of your fetish and your self-determined levels of enjoyment, the moment of discovery can be many things: realization, happiness, excitement at discovering a new sex toy, an explanation about your love of other people's scars, or even a moment of abject horror, shock, and surprise that something like this works for you. Often, it's a moment of instant arousal that seems to come from nowhere. Fetishists have described it as a key turning in a lock, or like a light switch being flipped into the on position. It's the so-called instant hard-on. Of course, as wonderful, scary, and exciting it can be to have a fetish epiphany, it's also a moment of understanding and dread that you have a sexual secret of sorts. And just how do you explain it, let alone share it, without making your sex partners run screaming from the room? Should you even tell anyone? End quote. One of the things I like about this passage is it recognizes the duality, the incredible freedom and liberation and excitement and arousal that can come when you really discover and name and claim your fetishes. But then there's also the flip side to that about feeling like you're alone in that, and how do you disclose it to your partners, and how do you reconcile your arousal with the perceived difference and abnormality you might feel in realizing that something like octopus porn turns you on, or that your ultimate fetish is to be squashed by your partner as they smother you with their body weight. How do you ask for something like that? And one of the things we recommend here at Pleasure Mechanics is to ease into these conversations by talking about sex in general terms with your partner before you disclose your particular desires and preferences and requests. And so it's a lot easier to talk to your partner about the general category of fetishes, and isn't it interesting that people get turned on by all these different things, and you ran into an article on the internet that was talking about balloon fetishists, and isn't that fascinating that people get turned on by the sounds of balloons being popped or being squished? And you can see how your partner reacts. You can gauge their response and then use that as information about how safe it might be to disclose your own fetishes. And depending on if you're dating or if you're in a long-term relationship, disclosing your fetishes comes with different consequences. If you're in a long-term committed relationship and your partner is not at all open to discussing fetishes or reacts with disgust and horror, you might have to keep your fetishes as your own personal fantasy and use it as fodder in your masturbation life, and that might be the safest place for it. But if your partner reacts with interest and an open mind, then maybe you start taking baby steps to disclosing your fetishes and making those fantasies part of your actual desires, part of your list of things you want to actually experience in your partnered sex life. And of course, if you're dating, you can decide if it's a deal breaker if your partner is interested in participating in these fetishes with you or not. You can use this as one of the criteria of committing to someone and have those conversations about how open they are to exploring fetishes and participating in them with you. So in closing, I think what's really important here is that we recognize that fetishes, no matter how common they are, like foot fetish or breast fetishes or butt fetishes, or how unusual your fetish might be, no matter where they fall on that spectrum, having a fetish is very normal. We all have things that turn us on, that create these spikes of arousal, and what to do with those fetishes is up to you. They can totally stay as part of your fantasy and create a lot of arousal and interest for you as part of fantasy life, and there's nothing wrong with that. Or you might choose to integrate them into your actual sex life. And how you do that and whether or not your partner is willing to participate is a really personal thing. But what's important is that you don't feel any shame or guilt about having a fetish. There's nothing wrong with you. It is not a mental disorder. And it's actually part of everyone's healthy sex life to have things that turn us on more than anything else. And it's part of what makes human sexuality so interesting is the diversity of what arouses us and sparks our erotic imagination. And thank goodness for that. It's awesome that human sexuality is so diverse and so fascinating. Wouldn't life be boring if we were all turned on by the same things? If you have any questions, you can always come over to pleasuremechanics.com and you can check out Violet Blue's work online. We will have a link on this podcast page over at pleasuremechanics.com, and we'll also have a link to get a free audiobook from our friends at audible.com, who offer you a free audiobook of your choice with your trial membership. You can cancel at any time and not pay a dime and keep that book as your gift. You can choose from 36 titles that Violet Blue has written or contributed to, everything from erotica anthologies to sex how-to books. Or you can get an amazing fiction book to listen to. I just finished an amazing book called All the Light We Cannot See, and they have that as an audiobook. So it's really your choice. You can get your free book by going to audibletrial.com/pleasure. That's audibletrial.com/pleasure. And check out their amazing library of audiobooks and choose which one you want for free as a gift. And support this podcast as you do. All right, I am Chris from PleasureMechanics.com, wishing you a lifetime of pleasure. We'll see you Friday with a full episode of the Speaking of Sex podcast. Cheers.